Our scripture lesson today is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
So how's everybody doing this morning? We've sort of come down the home stretch, and we're on the in the very last leg here as we've made it to the fourth Sunday of Advent. I do remind you that it's not Christmas yet. I know it's Christmas Eve and we're all here, but this is also the fourth Sunday of Advent. And that's one of the reasons why we stopped our reading this morning where we did. That was just a little teaser for the rest of the story tonight. Because in these latter days of Advent, as we celebrate the coming of Christ, this fourth Sunday of Advent is the end of the pilgrimage, as our picture on the screen tells us. This is where we are. We're not in Bethlehem yet. We're just on the ridge, looking over into Bethlehem. We're nearly there. I'm going to be impolite this morning, because my mother always told me that in polite conversation, you never talked about politics, sex, or religion. Anybody ever hear that? Now, I've had a lot of people say, well, then what else are you going to talk about? It's going to be a pretty boring conversation, isn't it? And we in the church sort of stay away from those things ourselves. But we talk about them all the time anyway. This story that we read this morning is about politics, religion, and sex. The Christmas story is embedded with these topics. If you look at this short selection that we read this morning, it starts out with, in the time of Emperor Augustus and Governor Quirinius. And the book of Luke itself starts off with, in the time of King Herod. The story starts off reminding us that this story takes place in the middle of imperial power. And this is not a pretty picture, my friends. This is a picture of domination, of occupation. It's a picture of oppression as the Roman world and local leaders working for the Roman emperor control the lives of the people in Palestine. Joseph and Mary are going to Bethlehem, Not because it's the last Sunday of Advent and they're making their pilgrimage to Bethlehem the way we do. They are going to Bethlehem, as the old King James says, to be taxed. Now, a better translation of that word is, we understand taxed as sort of in the contemporary conversation as paying money to the government. The word used here is to be counted, to be registered. And in between the lines of this story, if we know our history of the time, we know that Quirinius was basically a military governor of this area. It says he was the governor of Syria, which covers the whole area, that whole area of the Middle East, and includes Palestine. And he was there because of the uprisings and the resistance of the residents of Palestine against the Roman Empire. He was there to put it down. And he calls for a registration, a census, if you will. Now, a census during this time was, it's not the way we understand a census. The way we understand a census is somebody comes by, they knock on your door, they call you on the phone, you fill out a form, and it tells how many people live in the house and gathers all kinds of information from us. A census taken during this time, and especially by somebody like Quirinius, was for basically one purpose: inscription. Quirinius was looking for soldiers, and he was counting heads to see what the pool of possible soldiers were that the Romans could call on to put down the rebellion of the indigenous peoples. Now, there's always a secondary reason for a census, and that is for tax purposes. So the government knows how many people are there and who they can go and get money from. So the whole reason for Mary and Joseph having to go to Bethlehem is quintessentially political. It is also religious, because Joseph has to go to Bethlehem. They live in Nazareth, but he has to go to Bethlehem, and he has to go to Bethlehem because he is a member of the house of David. That single phrase right there reminds us that this story is grounded in the Jewish tradition. And that being a member of the house of David, Joseph has a special place in that story. And so he goes to the city of David, which is Bethlehem. The city of David was not Jerusalem then, it was Bethlehem. And so this story is saturated with religion. It is also filled with sex. These lines tell us that Mary and Joseph are engaged. They are not married. The Greek word used here clearly says they are engaged, they are betrothed, they are not married. And then, my goodness, she's pregnant. And she's about to deliver her child. So we have all three elements of impolite conversation. Now, the great irony of this is that we in the church have taken that advice sometimes to the extreme. Because what we have done is we have made this story into a nice, polite story. A story that does not offend anyone. A story that does not question anyone's actions. A story that leaves everybody just feeling good about who we are and how we live. And how we relate to one another. That's the story we like to tell about Bethlehem and Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. The nice, polite story of a little baby in a manger. Gentle Mary, meek and mild. When in actuality, this story is anything but. Now, I know this sounds harsh to some of us. And it should. It should. Because the intent of this story is to break into the darkness of our lives. It is to break into imperial dominance wherever it might be and in whatever time it might occur. The intent of this story has its roots in the prophets of the Old Testament who proclaimed liberation and justice from invading, occupying forces. It's a story that reminds us that we still live in an imperial world. We still enjoy the benefits of an imperial world. And the story breaks into our comfort. It breaks into our polite conversation and says, God is with us in every part of our world and our existence, and especially with us in times of darkness and domination and oppression. And this is what hovers over and in and through this Christmas story. Now, the good news is that it is God with us. It is the presence of the eternal God with us, coming to us in a tiny baby. Being born to two frightened people. Frightened for many different reasons. Both Mary and Joseph, do you realize both Mary and Joseph could be killed at any moment for the situation that they are in? Joseph is going to be registered, and he may end up fighting in an army that he doesn't want to fight with. And their child is being born into this. And it tells us that no matter how bad our lives are, no matter how dark the world may seem, God is with us. And that is the light breaking into the darkness that Isaiah talks about, that John the Baptist talks about, and that in Bethlehem literally takes place. Light breaking into our darkness. Now, I don't have to remind any of us here that life is not easy, especially those of you, those of us who have lived many years. We all know that life is not easy. Life is extremely complicated. Filled with joy, yes. Filled with happiness, yes. Filled with accomplishment, yes. Filled with success, yes. But it is also filled with grief. And it also filled with pain. And it is also filled with failure. And we must embrace the story of the presence of Christ in our lives in its fullness. Or it means very little at all. I can't help but think of the times that people have asked me, how can you worship a God when children are starving? How can you worship a God when families are refugees by the thousands, by the hundreds of thousands? How can you worship God in times of destruction and war? How can you worship God who allows hatred to exist in the world? And you've had these questions yourselves. I know you have. And the one thing that keeps us all from just abandoning God altogether is reading the stories of our Scripture with open eyes and honesty, and realizing that the majority of them, including the Christmas story that we celebrate today, are about God being with us in those very times. And that is the good news. And that is our hope. And that is our joy. Amen. Our charge this morning comes from a poet that many of us are familiar with, Anne Weems. And I read from her collection of poetry called Kneeling in Bethlehem. Our God is one who comes to us in a burning bush, in an angel song, in a newborn child. Our God is the one who cannot be found locked in the church or even in the sanctuary. Our God will be where God will be, with no constraints, no predictability. Our God lives where our God lives, and destruction has no power, and even death cannot stop the living. Our God will be born where God will be born, but there is no place to look for the one who comes to us. When God is ready, God will come, even to a forsaken place, like a stable in Bethlehem. Watch, for you know not when God comes. Watch, that you might be found. Whenever, wherever God comes. Amen.